Just to provide a bit of stability. But I believe that we are placed well and that the Lord, unbeknownst to us, has been preparing us. I will be around, so it's not like I'm going to be going again for another 8 weeks. Don't think that. But in being gone for 8 weeks, it's amazing that the Lord has prepared and equipped us as a campus just to support the Vine more broadly at this time, which is wonderful. And the Lord has been putting some excellent things in place. So He has got a plan and purpose in store for us. And, we were sitting down at that meeting on Thursday night and discussing and looking at the whole scenario. And, we had to figure out how we're going to announce this. How do you kind of break this sort of news and all that sort of a thing. But there was one point in there as we were discussing and I said, this is really exciting. It's a very exciting time in the life of the church, and I love that. There's many questions, potentially, or perhaps very few. Many things may stay the same, I don't know. But we just journey through it a step at a time, and each of us has a role to play. You might not feel it, but it's often in seasons like this of transition, whatever they are, that the role and purpose of every member of the body gains a greater clarity and purpose. So look to see how you can be stepping up, serving, praying as the Lord. Pray especially for the Eltham campus. That news will be felt far more fully there as they have been sitting under Stuart's pastoral care much more directly than we have here. Stuart, of course, has been out here several times and many of you will know him from when the church existed as Eltham Baptist. And it's definitely, I'll speak personally, Stu has been someone who I've worked with closely and I probably have the deepest and closest working relationship out of everyone that I work with. And so it's very sad to see him in a transition, but I'm also very, very thankful. And as Sue, I can really see it'll be a great fit for him, the role at InterServe. If you have questions or things, feel free to come and ask me. I'll answer as I'm able. I might not be able to know all the answers to your questions, but it's about journeying together. And if you feel, maybe you could prayerfully reach out to someone you know at the Eltham campus and just say, hey, don't know if you're at the service today, but how are you processing the news? Maybe something like that. And feel free to share it. Perhaps, as Stu was saying, InterServe are going to announce it via communication tomorrow. So just be aware that that part of things is still yet to be announced in the InterServe world. What I'm going to do now is ask Michael to come up and just lead us in a time of prayer, just as a way of responding to this. So thank you, Michael.
Pleasure. It's not news that's going to particularly affect this campus. But Stu, probably more indirectly, he's had a lot to do with his campus. The Bible says, I will build my church, doesn't it? Michael will build my church? I don't think so. Stu will build my church? I don't think so. Ollie, build my church? No. Jesus will build his church. And sometimes we can get attached too much to a leader as well. And we're a bit selfish. We've really enjoyed Stu, but what he's going to go on to is going to be a great thing. They say during change, 10% of the people love change, 10% of the people hate change, and about 80% of the people say, I'll go along with it. So I don't know if you're one that likes change or doesn't like change, but Jesus said, I will build my church in the singular, not I will build my churches. So it's going to be a win for the church, having somebody with Stu's experience. You need to serve. So, what a fantastic thing and a sad thing. Let's pray. Father God, we are a group of people with different feelings and different ways that we approach change. Some of us will be unsettled. Some of us attached to a particular personality or a leader and think, how can things go on? Others are excited for the growth of your kingdom, your church in the world. I think we all are, Lord. We're all excited for the growth of your kingdom. We particularly pray for Stu and Bron. We see that wasn't an easy announcement that they made. So for them, it's actually going to be a very significant transition. But what a blessing. We just pray that transition, they have peace about it. Just continue to confirm that peace that they have the necessary rest when they transit jobs to be able to spring into interserve and give it the best they've got, Lord. And may your kingdom just increase time and time again through their ministry. We walk into the unknown, but one thing we do know is you're always with us, Lord, and you've already been there. You know our thoughts, you know our actions, you know what's going to happen, Lord. So we pray for whoever it is you've marked to come along and fill their shoes. They'll be different shoes, different shaped shoes. We all come with different talents too, but we pray in advance for the people we don't even know yet, but you do. You've got them lined up. For peace for us too, Lord, that we hold on to you above all else. And when we do that, when we build our lives on you, nothing can shake us. You are the cornerstone, the foundation stone in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. We're at that point too where we'll go straight into our sermon as well. I thought I had something else written down. We don't have a kids' church today. I remember in Papua New Guinea, the translators, they'd go and do audio recordings in the bush, and there'd be chickens and dogs and stuff in the background as they're trying to audio record, you know, audio Bibles. And the translators say, oh, we'll have to edit them out. And the locals said, no, that makes it real. Don't take the chicken out. I want the chicken. And it's a bit like that with the kids. Don't take the kids out. We want the kids. They make us real. So don't stress is what I'm saying. If the kids are making noise, it makes it real. We're a family. So, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a kids pack, but I'll invite Ollie up again to lead us. It's going to be the best sermon you've given here in 8 weeks. And also, isn't it incredible how that, as Stu said, the series finishes. The I Will Build My Church service finishes today when he's making this announcement, and Christ will build his church.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, if your kids are getting rowdy, my own included, feel free to head out or, make use of whatever is available. Ah, look at that. Marilyn's got some kid packed with Lionel. So they're available as well. No pencils. I've got two pens if you need. We can maybe find a few more. Lovely. Well, yes. We're now, going to be... So this is the wrap for the I Will Build My Church. Mike, thanks. I had no idea it had been... I've been telling people, I think we've been through this series about 4 or 5, maybe 6 months, but almost a year if we started in September. So there you go. Does anyone know the full title of the series? No. Anyone want to have a stab? It's okay. It's okay if you don't get it right. Said a few times. No? All right. Let me enlighten you then. The full title of the series is this: I Will Build My Church, A Promise Kept at Ephesus. I'll Build My Church, A Promise Kept at Ephesus. And Stu, Aaron and I, must have been over a year ago now, as we were planning, preparing what we would start, we had a sense it is right to look at how the Lord builds his church. And we were really captured by that statement, that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Which is a profound statement. There's not many people who would be so bold as to say that. I don't know if the, you know, chairman or CEO of Google or Macca's or, you know, these big companies would be prepared to say that. But Christ, in absolute truth, said that about his church and that he will build it. And it's such a powerful promise. And we thought, how can we we express and capture this? And we thought, let's look at how the Lord did this in a church that we find in the scripture. And so we picked the church at Ephesus, because that's one of the churches that we have a lot on in the scripture. We went to the book of Acts, if you remember. So it wasn't a series about Ephesians. It was actually, we start off in the book of Acts and we looked at how the church began in Ephesus. Paul arrived there and he was just passing through. He said, I'll come back. And Apollos came and all these things happened. There was a riot. And from there, we looked then at the letter to the church in Ephesus, what Paul wrote. And the riches there, as Mike said, there's many more riches that we didn't go into, didn't have the time to. We even delved, I was looking to preach that message, but I was in isolation with COVID, and so Aaron came and preached with the letter to the church in Revelation that we find in Ephesus, for the church of Ephesus. And the thing that our desire is in the midst of this is that we know that the Lord keeps that promise today. And it's not only at Ephesus that the promise has been kept, but it has been kept at Hurstbridge, it has been kept at Eltham, and it will continue to be kept as the Lord's people trust in Him and look to Him. And so, I want to, in concluding, just think about that. I will build my church. This is a promise kept at Ephesus, and it is a promise kept at Hurstbridge. And I'm going to start off actually in the book of Acts in chapter 5. And you go through a little incident which captures well this truth that the Lord is the one who builds His church. And it's a fascinating moment. If you read through Acts, it is a very volatile start to church life. That's what it is. In chapter 5, two of the members of the church fall down and die because they dishonor God and lie to the Holy Spirit. Continuing on, there are many signs and wonders being done, even so that people lay their friends, their family members, in front of Peter's shadow so that it might fall on him and that they would be healed. And all sorts of things are happening in this way. And then in verse 17, it says here in chapter 5 that the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. All the apostles. And they're in prison. This hasn't happened to this point in time. Peter and John have been arrested, but all 12 are arrested, put in prison. And there's a bit of a thing where the Lord works a miracle and... Anyway, it continues on. And eventually apostles are brought before the whole council. And it says in verse 27, they brought them and set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." It's amazing. They're preaching, Jesus Christ is the Lord, He is the Messiah. And you know who's killed Him? The chief priests, your leaders. Imagine preaching that. And you're making us guilty of His blood. You've filled this city with your teaching about Him. How would you respond? This is what Peter did. Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree." Talk about putting lemon in the wound. "God exalted Him at His right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." And this is the part I want us to reflect on as we think about the conclusion of the series, "I Will Build My Church." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. All 12, bang, like that. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. Isn't that interesting? When you have a leader, there's a lot of drive. If the leader moves, something will fall over. Unless it is born out of the Spirit of God. And that's what happened. Christ died, but you know what? He didn't only die, he rose again. And our leader is living today, brothers and sisters. That's often what we forget. We do not have a dead leader. And he is called a leader in this very passage. He says, God exalted him at his right hand, and he is a living leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What a blessing to be recipients of these things. And we're in a period of transition as a church. But I want to reflect, see here how this man had insight. And he said, you might even be found to oppose God if you try and stop this. You don't need to. You don't need to try and stop it. It will naturally stop of its own accord. Because Jesus, he's dead. He's no longer alive. That was his perspective on it. The apostles knew and they said, we are witnesses of these things. So is the Holy Spirit. And they were giving testimony. And it was truly of God. If you look then in chapter 19 of Acts, years and years later, you get to the church in Ephesus. And I don't know if you think about it, but it's a rocky start. You think about some of the things that happen. Apollos is probably the first one who begins to preach on a regular basis there. But he is so deficient in his preaching. By the time Paul gets there, he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? So to some disciples. And they say, there's a Holy Spirit? What's that? You think, what was he preaching? How deficient is the preaching that there is not even an understanding about the Holy Spirit? That's how the church started. Can you imagine starting a church and not mentioning the Holy Spirit? So that people didn't understand that they need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. They were baptized into the name of John. John the Baptist. Imagine starting a church. That's how the church in Ephesus started. You'd be like, crazy. Who would do that? The story continues on. And there comes a day in the midst of this church, in the city of Ephesus, where there's a man who has a demon, and he beats seven men to a pulp so that they are naked and bloodied. And they run away. Can you imagine that happening? Yet in the midst of that, the Lord still built the church there. After that, there was a riot. And people in the city were raging against the church. Could have been as many as us. Maybe it was a few more. I don't know. Can you imagine the city of Hurstbridge raging against this church? That would be intense. What would you do? Would you run? Would you leave town? It was an intense, it was a rocky start. It wasn't straightforward. Don't think that, oh yes, everything is smooth, you know, the doctrine is right and perfect, you know, the actions are... There's mess going on. You got to have a look. You know, there's a story of another church in Hurstbridge I know about. It hasn't had the most straightforward start. Some of you may not have known this, and you've joined in that journey at different points. Each one of us have. But I want to tell you some of the things that have taken place in our journey. Some you may not be aware of, some you may. We started here the second Sunday in February in 2018. And we launched out. We had a commissioning service at the Eltham campus and changed the name of the church to The Vine. And we began. And in that year, we were a fledgling church. I remember many occasions where... we didn't know who was going to be on band that Sunday. And it would be like, great, we've got someone who can play guitar. That's excellent. I remember the first Sunday, we didn't know who was going to be able to sing or play when we started out. I remember some days Ben was like, Ben, who's still looking after Kids Church to this day, He would tell me on Monday, Tuesday, you know what happened, Ollie? On Saturday, I had no idea who was going to lead kids' church. This is all going on, like I'm unaware of these sorts of things, right? And you are as well, you know, if you were here at the time. He was like, I had no idea who was going to lead kids' church. And then this brother came up and he said, you know what, Josh, I've been praying and I just think, I would love to just help out with kids' church. Could I do that tomorrow? Yeah, that would be great. And everything just looks like it's going on smoothly. But behind the scenes, you think, wow. And some of you who have led have felt like that. You know, you've led teams or done different things, or you've been asked to step up at the last minute and you've served. And you know what? If we didn't have someone playing on band, I remember talking with Mark Joseph, who was leading his return to the Eltham campus now. But Mark, he was saying, you know, we would say, all right, we might have to sing a cappella this Sunday. We would often have that conversation, you know, and we thought, do we put some music on the screen and we just sort of try and sing along? I said, no, we're not. If we haven't got a band, then we're just going to do a cappella. We won't do that. And we had that plan in place and ready. We never had to action it, but there may come a day when we do. I don't know. We were fledgling, and I remember I said to myself, in the first year, I'm not going to try and run any other event. Just keep this Sunday service happening. I'm not going to look at anything else. And we did that for an entire year. And we had celebrated with a barbecue lunch towards the end of the year. Like, wow, we've done one other thing outside of a Sunday service. That was how we started here. The following year, it was 2019. And some of you here remember that there was a significant disagreement that took place between two key church leaders in the life of our church. And this disagreement spread out through the church, impacted us deeply. Many people were hurt. It was a time of great intensity. And through that period, there are many people who are attending the Hurstbridge campus, some of the Eltham campus as well, who decided to leave the church. It was a grievous time. For myself personally, it was the most difficult season that I've ever been through. I'd never been through something like that in the life of the church, and then having to lead through it shortly after, just a year into the life of the campus, it was quite intense and overwhelming, and many of you will have intersected with that journey in different ways. Some of you may not. That's been a part of our journey. I will build my church, he declared. 2020, you know, we underwent a global pandemic. We suddenly had to shut down all of our gatherings, meetings. I remember thinking people were saying, you know, China's done all these lockdowns. I was like, oh. But the Chinese, they're just, you know, the government is just crazy. They'll do that. And then we start having a lockdown. I'm like, what? You know, I started hearing about Germany, you know. They're only letting people gather in ones and twos. I'm like, oh, that would never happen here. There you go. It sure did. How do you function as a church in that? Many of you were there at that time. How was it? It was a cold time. It was hard to gather. It was hard to feel the warmth of fellowship, to know, to grow. I will build my church, he declares. We went online. We started using Zoom. We're fed up with it. The Lord is still at work. The following year, we continued with lockdowns, and we ended up unfortunately, taking the crown as the city with the most amount of lockdowns or longest period of lockdowns in the entire world. May still have it. I don't know if that's changed. And then the government decided to introduce mandates for vaccination. And that sent us on a journey as our venue. Where are we going to meet now? That some of us are unable to meet here now, according to the government. What do we do? What does that look like? Meeting outside. Meeting inside, meeting here, meeting there, it's raining, what's going on? Putting up gazebos, taking them down again, again and again. Not being able to hear because the wind's blowing away. I will build my church, he declares. Then the campus pastor decides to go away for 8 weeks and upon returning announced that the lead pastor's resigning. I will build my church, he declares, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what, brothers and sisters, I remember 6 months down the track of being here, I remember thinking, wow, you can't stop this thing. I could die as the leader, and this thing would not stop. We could be told tomorrow we're not allowed to meet in the hub, and this thing would not stop. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know what happened today and yesterday. tomorrow is the Lord's, and whatever comes, he says, I will build my church. You can have confidence in that. Even in the coming season, there are many questions. We don't need answers. We'll work towards them. But the Lord will surely build his church. But I realize there's a real need for us to trust in that. Because when we're trusting, it brings us to a place of rest, which is a wonderful place to be. And the Christian life is a life of rest, resting in the promises of God that he has given. And this is one of them, that he will build his church. And I want you to consider the extent to which you trust and rest in that. Yes, it might be fine when the church is humming along, everything's going as it should be. But many of you have been through, and all of us have, you know, you've all been through a global pandemic and church life. But we've been through seasons that have been challenging in the life of the church. And when they come, brothers and sisters, do you begin to doubt? Do you begin to question? Do you begin to say, is it true? Is it really true that you build your church? How can you be building it in this circumstance? And that is when our Father in heaven is seeking to build us, that we are growing in our trust of him, even in those tumultuous times. And I can tell you this, brothers and sisters, with certainty. It might not be tomorrow, might not be the next day, might be in years to come, but there will be more tumultuous times in the church that you are in, whether it's here at Hurstbridge, at Eltham, or anywhere else that your life takes you. And it's taken many of us around the world. There are going to be tumultuous times ahead. And in those tumultuous times, your Father in heaven is going to be seeking that you build your trust in him. I tell you what, if I had not sought to have that posture of heart, I would have been taken out many times already in my journey. I would not be able to be doing what I'm doing today in serving, in loving, in seeking to lead and guide, if I had not sought to continue to place my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, you are going to need to do that. You might not need to do it right now, but you might need to do it in days to come. You may have needed to do it in days gone past. And every occasion, the Father will be using it to build your spiritual strength that you can overcome, that you can be a support to those around you. So use every situation. Lay hold of it and say, Lord, what are you seeking to teach me? Expose my weakness. Draw me near to you, that I can be a blessing and that I can work with you to see your church being built. Because as you rest in trust in that, that the Lord will build his church, it will lead you to a place where you live that. You're not just going to sit back and say, oh, Jesus is going to do it all. You're going to be active and involved. You're going to believe and say, he is building his church and I want to be a part of it. Lord, what does it look like? How can I be a part of building a church? You know what? The Bible says that we are each individually members of the church. Each one of us. Do you know it's not just the church corporately, but it is each individual member that he seeks to build. When you think about that statement, I will build my church, you probably think about us when we gather. You probably think about us when we're, you know, meeting together in some form. You probably don't think of yourself when you're having breakfast on Tuesday morning, or you're in the car driving your kids to school. You might not think about the Lord in that moment, that this is true in this moment, that he's seeking to build his church when I'm individually a member of it. Because just as we can consider the church in Ephesus and the highs and the lows, the church in Acts, we can consider the church in Hurstbridge, the church in Eltham, any church, you can see seasons and things that it's gone through and had to navigate. Look at your own life. What can you see there? What have been the tumultuous times, the highs and the lows? It's easy when things are zinging along to say, yes, the Lord is building his church. What about in the low moment where you hit that depression because of your circumstance? Well, yeah, you're humming along and then you have a really difficult relationship situation crop up out of nowhere. You don't know how to handle it. You feel really cut deep. What does that look like? Well, maybe you're under financial pressure. We've all been through things. We all will continue to go through things. That is guaranteed. But the question is, where are we looking? And are we looking in a way that is in trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul, at one point, he wrote this to the church in Philippi. And it's a very powerful thing. He said this in chapter 1, verse 6 of Philippians. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Are you sure of that? Maybe right now, yes. Maybe not tomorrow, or maybe not yesterday when you're going through a trial. This is where we simply need to come in trust and rest in his precious promises. Because the promise of God is like no other promise. It is fully kept. You can be sure of that. And yet often we doubt it. And so in this place, as we reflect, I encourage you to consider, where are the points in your life where you may doubt that the Lord is building his church? Maybe here corporately, maybe in another season. It might even be another church, that another church is going through a thing. Or personally in your own life, maybe you're going through something that you're just unable to share with people. I don't know. But at those points, look to the Lord and say, how can I be trusting in you? That you are building, that you are working for good. What we're going to do now is to approach the Lord's table together. And as we do that, I'm just going to create a bit of space for us to reflect. If you haven't, thanks Trace. If you haven't got one of these, just stick your hand up. Trace will bring them around. There's also a gluten-free option for the wafer if you need. I'd like to encourage you to reflect on the times when you may have doubted or you may have questioned that the Lord is building his church, either corporately or maybe in your own life, the things that are happening in your life. You know what? It's okay to doubt if you bring it to the Lord. If you don't, you're going to end up in a lot of trouble. But if you bring it to the Lord in genuineness, that is the place where he is able to work. If you deny your doubt, you're going to be in a lot of problems. But acknowledging it, that's a precious place to be before God. The Lord says, or in Psalm 51, it says, a broken and contrite spirit you will not turn away. I experienced that. I'm going to encourage you to reflect. And maybe you've never gone through a time where you've doubted this. There may come a season. I would say it's probably likely. But I encourage you to reflect and just take time to bring that before the Lord. And to ask, where are the places where I may doubt that you are building your church? Because in your hand you have two elements that we've been given that he says, remember by. One is his body and the other is his blood. And his blood has been shed for forgiveness. This is the wonderful thing, that it doesn't matter where we are on life's journey. The Lord has every part covered. Whether you sin, whether you walk in victory, anything in between. The Lord has provided everything that we need. To encourage you to reflect in that space. And if you sense that there's something that the Holy Spirit is prompting, bring that before him and pray into it. As well, I encourage you to reflect if there's someone in the body that you're not walking in forgiveness with, and there is strife there, then please go and be reconciled to them. And if you feel that you can't, I would suggest to not take communion. And that is coming from 1 Corinthians 11, where it says that we need to judge ourselves before we go. If you have a look there, that is one of the things that the church was undergoing, that they were not walking in unity together. And the Lord says, you think you're taking communion. Paul said to them, you think you're taking communion, but it's not. And so it's better to not take it than to take it in vain and to drink judgment upon yourself. Let's take that time to reflect, and then I'll lead us shortly as we take the elements together. It says here in Luke, when the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Let's stand together. And you can open up and take the wafer. Yeah, and take that at your leisure, as you feel. And let's open and we can drink the cup together with a declaration. As we often declare when we celebrate this together, say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Let's say that together now. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Lovely. I'm going to invite the band up to close us in song. And yeah. It's a privilege to be back, privilege to have communion with you.